Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
It's far from reaching the lyrical genius of Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us when it comes to diss tracks, but it's a song. And it's a song. It's a song. There's definitely words. There's definitely a beat. And that's what Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports and Josh Richards, also from Barstool Sports, decided to put out when country music star Zach Bryan dumped their friend and castmate Brianna LaPiglia, also better known as Brianna Chicken Fry. So they put out this diss track calling him out for all of the horrible things that they've been keeping inside as Brianna has publicly dated this man, calling him an infected man with STDs, calling him the smallest man that ever lived, also calling him he's ugly. You know, just really like not very creative insults, but insults nonetheless. Here's a sample from the track.
Trust me, caught your pants on fire. Did a bubble riot, knew you was a liar. You just made a new rival. Pretty soon you gon' need a revival. Said, trust me, caught your pants on fire.
Did a bubble riot, knew you was a liar.
It's about to get cold. Go and post it on your Instagram story.
It's not touching you, huh?
No, it didn't do much for
it's
me.
It's not hitting the same
that
way.
Yeah, bad. Portnoy, Zach Bryan, not the same. Lamar, as Drake and Kendrick Lamar.
No.
Not even close.
This song's enough for everybody.
But, I mean, just because I'm on a roll of, like, regurgitating old bits, what if we brought back Songs of Revenge? We haven't done that in forever.
Yeah. That would be a good idea. We've only had one really great one.
Yes.
That was called in. But we asked listeners, like, if you wanted to get revenge on somebody, there's nothing better than a revenge song. We'll play it if you put it together.
We had so many good ones. Because one woman, it happened, like, she just sent it to us. And she was jilted, and her boyfriend had cheated on her. And she really just, this was like a cathartic release and needed to call him out. And she sent us a song, and we got in our email, we got in our inbox, and we listened. And we're like, this is going on radio.
Yeah.
And it just snowballed, and more people kept sending in songs of revenge against exes.
Yeah, if you guys want to run with this, and you want to send us like a song of revenge that you wrote and you produced, we don't care how bad it is, go ahead and send it to us at producer@theburtshow.com. We're looking for that song actually right now, so we might have it by end of entertainment.
I'm obsessed with this because I was going to say, you know, if you think you can do better than them, you can. You can absolutely do better. So if you're sitting in your car and you're listening to this and you're thinking, how am I going to come? You can do it. Dave Portnoy did it. Yeah, absolutely.
Get on
GarageBand, find a beat online. You will absolutely make it happen. All right, Olympic gymnast Shawn Johnson is revealing why she had an 8-year rift with Nastia Lukin. These two were both on the United States Olympic gymnastics team way back in the day, both legends in their own right when it comes to gymnastics, but they had a nearly decade-long feud, and no one really knew what the actual heart of their rift was because they were friends, and then they weren't friends, and now they're friends again.
But basically, Sean explained that Nastia and her were best friends. She said that they were training. They were at the Olympics together and were roommates. She said, you know, we were teenagers. We were 16 and 18 years old. I felt like we were under the spotlight and scrutiny so much to be each other's top biggest competitors. And we had figured out on the competition floor how to be best friends and competitors. But then once the pressure of stardom kind of hit them, they started hearing that people thought they should be rivals. Like everyone's kind of pitting them against each other. And they thought, well, if everyone else thinks we should be competitors, we should actually not be friends. We should be competitors and rivals. And that lasted for 8 years where they didn't speak. And finally, their boyfriends were the two guys that brought them back together. Sean said, our boyfriends at the time got so tired of hearing us talk about each other that they said, enough of this, just go talk to each other again. And we did. And ever since then, it's just been like, we haven't skipped a beat. We are each other's best friends, biggest supporters, and we just love each other. So this is the first time boyfriends have ever brought friends together, because normally it's the opposite. They're tearing them apart.
Let's go ahead and call it what it was. This was very self-serving because their ears were bleeding and they just didn't want to hear like the trash talk of each other. And they're like, for the love of God, in order to get her to shut up, I just need them to get to be friends again.
Literally, please talk about anything else. But the thing is with women, the way we deal with conflict is we need to talk about it like 50 times, yes, maybe even 100 times until we get over it. It's like a poison that you have to squeeze out of your body. And the only way you can do that is through a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc, through a couple of dinners, and by saying the same story in 8 different versions over and over and over again until you're finally over it or you actually get to a resolution with your friend. All right, Luke Combs says he wanted to crawl into a hole after Tracy Chapman called him out for switching a lyric in Fast Car. I'll explain on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
It is always a good time to hear something good. We call this Tell Me Something Good, right? Nothing but positive story. We only want to hear the good stuff going on in your life right now. About 50% of the country needs this today, right? 1-855-BIRCHO. As an example, Kristen, what does it sound like?
All right, so it sounds like this. A lot of history was made on Tuesday, and I need to give some kudos to some people that made that history. So Democrat Lisa Blunt Rochester of Delaware is going to serve as the first woman and the first black woman to represent her state in the Senate. She previously made history as Delaware's first female and first black House representative in 2017. Democrat Angela Ossobrooks became Maryland's first black senator. Republican Bernie Moreno became Ohio's first Hispanic statewide official and the first South American-born senator. Democrat Andy Kim will be the first Korean-American senator. This election also paved way for LGBTQ plus history in Congress. So Sarah McBride, in winning Delaware's at-large congressional seat, became the first openly transgender member of Congress. Democrat Julie Johnson from Texas won her race to become the first openly gay representative from the South. And fellow Democrat Emily Randall, who became Washington's first female LGBTQ state senator in 2018, has become the first LGBTQ Latina to serve in Congress. And it doesn't end there. Democrat Janelle Bynum of Oregon could become the first black woman to represent her state in Congress. Republican Julie Federchalk of North Dakota won her bid to become the first woman to represent the state in the House. Democrat Derek Tran could also become the first Vietnamese member of Congress from California. And Democrat Amish Shaw could become the first Asian American and Indian American from Arizona in Congress. And then lastly, Democrat Nellie Powell became the first Hispanic woman to represent New Jersey in Congress. And Democrat Tony Vargas could be the first Latino in Congress from Nebraska. So there was so much to celebrate on Tuesday for so many different people.
Chet, tell us something good. What's going on?
So I had a little stint with addiction, spent a little time in jail. I am now 3 months sober, and I actually have a new job that I just started about a week ago, and I'll be auditioning for The Voice today, trying to further myself, further my career.
Dude, get out of here.
Congrats, man.
What a story this is, man.
Seriously. So how long has your passion for music been around?
I've been singing off and on, like just kind of playing around, doing the church thing, and doing karaoke, tearing up the local scene. So I'd say about a year or so, okay. But now I'm starting to get a little serious with it. So.
All right, I love this, man. Way to turn it around. Okay, I know it's early in the morning, voice probably not warm, but you want to give us a little taste of what they're going to hear on The Voice?
Tell me something good.
My man.
That was a little taste.
I felt it in my soul. Just a little treat.
Hey, congratulations, man. Way to turn it around, dude. We're pulling for you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you. Thank you very much, guys.
All right, good luck. You know what? Let me put you on hold because I want to find out how the audition went. Did you make the show? Yeah, we want to follow you on this journey, man.
Yeah, for sure. Katie, Tommy, make sure we save his info so we can check back in with Chet. Send you all the good vibes today, my man.
Mo, what do you got?
So there's a school bus driver who I think deserves some kudos. I saw this on today.com. His name is Larry Farish Jr., and he drives school buses in Louisville, Kentucky. He used to be a corrections officer, and now he's known as Bonding with the Children. And so one day there was a child named Levi who was in elementary school, and he said Levi's always has these, like, cherry, but this day he had a jacket over his head and he was crying. He asked him why, and he said because he didn't have pajamas to participate in pajama day for his school. The kids were making fun of him, and so Larry felt like, man, I got to do something about this. So after all of his routes that morning, he ran over to a local store, and he bought two pair of pajamas for Levi, and he took them to the school, and he gave them to Levi, and then they got this beautiful picture of Levi in his pajamas being happy. And cheerful. And they say Larry does things like this in the community all the time, but this is just one of the stories that actually went viral. So shout out to Larry for making Levi's day like that. I thought that was awesome.
That may be something that seems so small, but that changed that kid's life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He'll remember that forever.
Oh, I love that so much.
Hey, Nick, good morning. Tell us something good.
Good morning. This Saturday, I'm getting married to my beautiful 4'9" Latina fiance.
Okay.
She be little, but she be mighty.
Hey, congratulations, man. How long you guys been going out?
7 years. We moved to San Jose, California, and back to Georgia. And then after the wedding, we're going to Tahoe for 8 days.
Oh, fantastic. Nice.
Congratulations, Nick.
Congrats.
Enjoy.
Huge news. Abby, what do you got?
Okay, so y'all know I love a good love story. And this one has a little bit of a dark beginning. But this woman named Charlotte in England was actually going to take her own life by laying on the train tracks. So somebody gave the train conductor a heads up, whoever was driving it, and said, hey, there's somebody on the tracks. You've got to stop the train. So he stops the train, gets out, goes and talks to Charlotte, and gets her off the train, saves her life. A couple days later, she finds him on Facebook. They start chatting. They just got married, and they are expecting their first child in about 20 weeks. So very, very exciting news for Charlotte and David.
Crazy, huh?
That's a movie waiting to happen.
Yeah,
I know.
That is the universe working right there. It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data, keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Moro Casino. Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
All right, so I have a therapy question. So our, you know, therapeutic Thursday, the call's coming from inside the house. So I wanted to get our resident therapist, Andrea Berkeley, on with us because I had a question for you when it comes to dealing with narcissistic adults around kids. Okay.
Oof.
I know. It's a doozy. And people love to throw the word narcissism around. And I think some people have narcissistic behavior, and then there are like the actual narcissist out there. Mm-hmm. So I'm hanging out with some friends and their family and their kids, and I witnessed a notoriously toxic older family member of my friend's guilt this child. And it's not a young child. It's a child that I'd say is probably like like late elementary, early middle school. And so I saw the pain on the child's face as they took this guilt trip. And I was wondering what I could say to either my friend or her child to help them know it is not their responsibility to manage an adult's feelings, that they... Like, they are not responsible for somebody else's happiness, that all you can do in life is try to be a good person and a kind person. But how someone perceives the world is not your burden to bear.
Oh, Kristen, this is a brutal situation, and I'm going to tell you exactly what to say. But first, I need to let you know, because I think the background is important, like why it's so hard to be criticized like that and why you saw that reaction and why you're going to see it when it happens again. So as adults, we know it's true. It's true. It's always true that we're not responsible for other people's feelings. But when you're young, because you depend on adults for survival, especially like your parents, your older family members, coaches, teachers, and this isn't something you think about, it's just something that your brain is hardwired to know. The most adaptive thing we can feel when someone who's in that position of power, when they like go at us, is shame mm-hmm. or guilt. The shame tends to develop over time. The guilt, the sense that like, oh, it's my fault, I did that. It's actually super adaptive because it keeps you safe. And so it's not healthy and helpful though in that moment. And so this is amplified if you have a relationship where someone is narcissistic, because they're going to do this again and again and again, and it's not malleable. It will never change. And so that's really where like shame starts to develop, and you carry around a sense of you that I'm bad. Like, especially if you're in grade school or middle school, when you're developing your identity, it's a really strong thing that you start to believe about yourself. So when you see something like this, you can tell your friend when this happens to her daughter, you have to address what you saw, because sometimes in families where there's narcissism, you just sweep everything under the rug, and you have to do it with empathy, and you have to do it with an explanation as well.
Because I've learned, like, you can't call out the narcissist because they're never gonna see that their behavior is bad or that they are doing everything wrong. They'll gaslight you, and then they'll manipulate you into making you think everything is your fault and it's not what they did, but it's your reaction to what they did. So I know in the moment, like witnessing, calling out that toxic family member isn't going to do any good. Instead, you have to give the people who are receiving those guilt trips the necessary tools to know it's not your fault.
Yes, correct. It would not be something I would go toe-to-toe with a narcissist about, because they're just going to heap more abuse on you, and then you're just going to feel worse. They're so persuasive, a narcissist is, because they will just keep going at it, right? So maybe in that moment, that's, you know, after you witness this situation, it's kind of pulling this young one aside and saying something like, I saw what Uncle Joe just did to you, and I saw how your face fell, and I totally get it. Like, that was so hurtful. Of course you're going to feel hurt, right? Make them feel like you understand that they have feelings, versus saying something like, oh, Uncle Joe, he's just like that. He's such a jerk. You know, like, you don't need to feel that way, because now they're alone. They do feel that way. They feel terrible. But you do need to remind them that Uncle Joe is a jerk, right? You do need to say that's how he is. He's always been that way. He will always be this way. If they're old enough, use the word narcissist. A quick Google mm-hmm. is going to make them feel a lot less crazy. Like, oh, that's Uncle Joe. It's not me, right? But you can use that word and just say, hey, the reason that we don't say anything there, it's not because I don't want to protect you, but because it will get worse. So what we have to keep doing to survive this as a family is just be there for each other and remind each other that this is him, not us.
And I think a lot of people think by not saying anything, you're allowing the behavior and you're enabling the behavior. But there are certain instances where, in this instance, you literally can't change the behavior. So the only thing you can change is how you react to it. I just didn't know how to articulate that to a kid.
Yeah, it's just empathy and explanation. And the thing is, it's going to be over and over and over again.
Did you get what you needed?
I did. Thank you so much. And Andrew, you have a new podcast coming up soon, right?
I do. The first episode went out today. It's called Sounds Like Therapy because it sounds like therapy. So I'm answering listener questions.
Right.
And I think that the Burt Show audience might like this. So find my podcast, Sounds Like Therapy. And in order to incentivize you to answer or to submit a question, I am giving away a $50 Visa gift card between now and Thanksgiving. And I will not take that money away like Bert is going to do to you. Full $50 if you submit your question. One person will get it.
Thank
but
you.
But you'll be entered for a chance to win.
Thanks, Andrea. Again, it's called the Sounds Like Therapy Podcast. Andrea Berkeley, appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you now. All right, time to lose my money. Got $100 right here that you are not going to get. Nobody has been able to get it at all. This is really good for me and really good for the budget. Explain how Lose Bert's Money works, Abby.
So basically, you're going to call in and say that you want to play Lose Bert's Money. And with we will give you a trivia question that you have to answer. They've notoriously been very difficult because every time you get the question wrong, you will lose $10. And we will do that over and over and over again until we get to zero because nobody's won yet.
Haven't had one winner yet, saving me cash. You got no chance. Hey, Rachel, good morning. You are on the Burt Show. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are y'all?
Really, really good. Where are you calling us from?
Johns Creek.
All right. Appreciate you.
Suwannee.
Thank you. Is it going to be Johns Creek or is it going to be Suwannee? Where you really live?
It's like the middle.
All right. We'll call it South Suwannee. That's Johns Creek. Good morning, Bridget. Where are you calling from?
Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Okay, appreciate you living in Pennsylvania.
Represent
and listening to the Burt Show. And Amber?
Yes?
Hi, where are you calling from?
Hey, Ackworth.
Okay, Ackworth. All right. I actually think this is a question we are going to get an answer for today. I think I'm going to lose some money today. But you are starting with $100. And Rachel, we're going to start with you first. Here it is. If you have one of these, you'll open it approximately 1,500 times this year. What is it?
The refrigerator.
The refrigerator.
That's a great answer.
But not the one I'm looking for. Ha ha.
Bert. Y'all have more self-control than me. I'd be opening my fridge 1,500 times a day.
So now we are down to $90 for Bridget. Same question here. If you've got one of these, you're going to open it approximately 1,500 times this year. Bridget, what is it?
Your car door?
Oh, I like
your
it.
Your car door.
Oh, it is. Bridget, that's what I was thinking, girl.
Wrong. $80. All right, Amber, for 80 bucks.
Your front door?
Your front door.
To the house. I like it.
To the house. Mm. Yep, that's not right either. Another 10 bucks.
I'm applauding the effort. These are great answers.
They're all really, really great answers. We are down to
70 at Rachel.
The garage door.
The garage door, 1,500 times. We got a winner.
Oh!
Yay! We finally got ourselves a winner.
Shoot the front door.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you. I am shocked.
We all are.
We all, yes. Yeah, we second that. So, Rachel, you just won 70 bucks.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
We should rename this Amy's Gonna Be Pissed. That's my business manager. She's got to dole out the money. Hey, congratulations. Yeah, if you have one of these, you're going to open it 1,500 times a year. It is a garage. It's the Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Ever hear somebody else laugh and you can't help but laugh? Because they're laughing so hard. It's never better than when it's a kid, right? So I saw this audio going around this morning. And it's a kid that's in Ukraine right now. And He is in the shop of his parents, and some adult walks into the scene and trips and sets the kid off on this laugh that is uncontrollable. Is there anything better than that?
No.
And you can't stop, right?
No, there's nothing better than a child's laughter.
We need it. Do it again. Is there anything better than a kid watching an adult get hurt?
Yeah.
It's just a genuine laugh.
It's the greatest thing ever. All right, Amber, you got yourself into a stupid argument?
Yeah, I did. I get into a lot of arguments about stupid things. I don't know why. But I got into this really idiotic debate with a few friends of mine. And we got into this crazy thing. We're discussing the difference between a Slurpee, a Slushy, and an Icy. And when I tell you things got heated over this frosty beverage, yeah. I don't...
Well, let's have this debate. Yeah. Okay, again, the three contenders here.
Slurpee, Slushy, and an Icy.
Are they not all the same thing?
Apparently they're not. I thought they were, and that was why everybody was so pissed off at me. But I think Icy's is more of like shaved ice kind of in a way, where a Slurpee is kind of more like a, I don't know, like a fruity milkshake. I don't know. It was a crazy 20-minute debate, and I still think they're full of crap.
I mean, Slurpees are 7-Eleven based, right?
Yeah, so okay. Like a Slurpee is just a slushy that you get from 7-Eleven,
right.
Isn't
it? I said that!
Yeah.
That's just 7-Eleven's name for a slushy.
Uh-huh.
Slurpee.
Now, in our defense, alcohol was involved,
obviously,
which made this a more serious debate. But I was wondering if you guys have ever had any other stupid debates.
Oh, yeah.
Of your own.
Have you listened
every
to the show?
That's
what the show is based on.
Every day.
I think the most heated one I ever got in and still remember to this day is there was a bunch of guys staying in the same house during Kristen's wedding. There was like five or six of us all staying in the same Airbnb. And we all started drinking. And one of the guys, for whatever reason, decided out of nowhere to go, you know what? If I wanted to, I could kick all of your asses right now. And there's nothing you guys could do about it.
Man.
And we're like, so for 30 minutes, we are all basically strategizing what we would do, how, and there would be no chance for this guy to be like, I'm like, there's no chance, dude, because I'm going for your legs. So right now you've lost all the power in your hips. And then this dude over here is definitely going to attack you from the front. This guy's going to, and we argued about it for 20 minutes and it's still on my mind.
So I've heard this story before, but I never realized that they said that they could take all of you all at the same time.
He said he could take the three others that were staying there at the same time.
Nah. Yeah, you're going to challenge my pride like that, Playboy. I've seen some real fights start from arguments like that.
It got heated, man. I thought it was going to.
So I've got a couple of other examples for you guys that you can argue about here, and this one is like the biggest one to me. Sock, shoe, or sock, shoe, shoe. How do you put on your socks and shoes when you get dressed?
I am a sock, shoe, shoe.
Same.
Sock, shoe, shoe.
Same.
All day.
What's the alternative?
You can do sock, shoe.
Oh, so you can't. You're
the
a serial killer
serial
if you do
killer.
That. Yeah, no, facts.
One foot at a time.
Yeah, that's weird. Do you do that?
Sock, shoe, shoe.
Okay.
Sock, shoe, shoe.
So we're all normal for once.
Yep.
I got one more for you. Do you wet your toothbrush before or after you put on the toothpaste?
Before. Because if you wet it after, you risk the chance of losing the toothpaste.
I had both. I ain't gonna hold you.
I do both.
Yeah,
never thought about it, but I do both.
Yeah. You do it before you put the toothpaste on. Then you brush your teeth, and then you put water on it after that.
I thought you meant you put water on it, like, before you even brush your teeth. Like, you do toothpaste, water, teeth.
Well, the question is, you put the water on before the toothpaste or after the toothpaste?
Before you actually brush your teeth.
Before,
I do both.
So if I'm in the bathroom, I'm sitting there, I'm washing my teeth. I turn the water on, I wet my toothbrush, then I turn the water off, then I put the toothpaste on, and then I go scrub. I don't water it, put toothpaste on, water it again, and then put it in my mouth.
Oh, I do that.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that weird?
What's the second water for?
Honestly, I don't know. I have no idea.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code BERT at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/BERT. Enter the code BERT, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
November 7th is a very special holiday, and you had no idea. You woke up this morning. It's a big day. You're going about your life as normal, or maybe you're not, and you realize, it's a big holiday, actually. No one is here to tell me except for Abby, because November 7th is National Men Make Dinner Day. Uh-huh. So, moms at home, if you have something to get done today, just push it off on your husband, if you've got one.
But if your man typically makes dinner, does that mean I have to make it for him tonight?
Yes.
I think that's what it was set up for, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. All right, baby, leftover Chipotle.
All right, Luke Combs says he wanted to crawl into a hole after Tracy Chapman called him out for switching a lyric in the song that he covered, Fast Car.
I said, we gotta make a decision, leave the 9-11 down this way. And then it goes into the chorus for the first time. And then that's the verse that at the very end of the song closes the song as well. And she said, so when you recorded the song, you said, still gotta make a decision instead of we gotta make a decision. And that was the first time that I knew that I recorded the song incorrectly. Because I remembered when she said it, I wanted to crawl in a hole.
So he basically just said this one small change. He said, instead of saying, we got to make a decision, he said, still got to make a decision. And that one thing has bothered him so much that every time he performs it live now, he doesn't do it the way he recorded it because it was wrong. So anytime he does it live, he switched it to the way it was originally intended from Tracy Chapman. We got to make a decision. So shout out Luke for keeping it biblically accurate.
Oh, owning his mistakes.
Owning his mistakes and then fixing it. Who knew? Men, growth. Love that for them.
Accountability, man.
Wow. Really took a nasty turn quick, didn't it? Just could have done the story and moved on.
I was sensing a lull. I needed to spice it up a little bit.
It's been a rough week. Let it go.
All right, Travis Kelce is defending Jason after that whole phone-throwing incident that happened where Jason was walking into a stadium over the weekend and some guy called Travis a homophobic slur. Jason, obviously very upset by this, approached this guy, who I think is like a college student at Penn State, grabbed his phone, threw it on the ground, and smashed it. It's a little embarrassing. He apologized for it, but Travis Kelce said he totally understands where he's coming from.
I know it's weighing on you, brother. That sucks. You shouldn't feel this much. Obviously, the scrutiny and the media like view on it, and everybody passing around the videos that are being out there. I mean, that's going to make it a bigger situation than I think what it really is. But the real situation is you had some clown come up to you and talk about your family, and you reacted in a way that was defending your family, and you might have used some words that you regret using. And that's a situation that you just got to kind of learn from and own.
It's really self-deflating when you let your emotions get the best of you and you act in a way that you normally wouldn't. the difference here is that this is national and world news if you are a celebrity, right? And online, you have to be perfect. You must be a perfect human being, or you are one step away from being canceled every single second.
Oh, people are going to pounce on that imperfection for sure. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to remember, too, that in that moment, I think we knew that was out of character for him. Sometimes when people do that, that's either a sign of their character or it's out of character for them. So that's when you have to decide, is this who they are or is this just completely out of character?
I feel like the fact that he played in such an aggressive sport, football, for so long, and it was never an aggressive story about him throughout his entire career, for him to have one now in his post-career, like, he should get a ton of credit for that.
And everybody that talks about this guy, I've seen players that used to play with him on the Eagles coming out saying, this is the guy that if I was sitting alone in, like, the NFL cafeteria by myself, he would come up and make small talk with just to make me feel welcomed. He's, like, such a great guy. But as I said, you have to be perfect online. And if not, then they want to change your character immediately. Yep. That's the new story.
100%. But here's the thing. We have such a long history with Jason Kelce that this one thing happens and we're able to move on from it. Like, if this was some new hotshot that Taylor had been dating or any other celebrity, we would see this and immediately make a judgment on them.
Well, he handled it perfectly. I mean, he came on national TV and said, I'm embarrassed. I know that people are taking sides about this thing. This is not who I am. I should have never matched his negativity with and used the word that he did over and over and over again. And when you watch the video enough, you realize, like, this kid was such a D-bag. And this is, he specifically went there for this reaction.
Yep. 100%. But, I mean, weirdly enough, like, I haven't seen a lot of discourse about it online. Like, I feel like everybody loves Jason Kelce so much that we were kind of like, okay, he apologized. We're going to move on.
I think it's just the constant sharing of the video. Mm-hmm. And, like, you're going to have to sit in that and know that's going to be out there forever. And your kids are going to see it someday. Mm-hmm. So there's probably a level of shame and embarrassment that he's just really putting on his own shoulders.
Yeah, there is a lesson there for your kids also, though, is that, you know what? We make mistakes. And then when we do, we apologize. And most people are very forgiving.
Most people. Not everybody, but most people. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
Did you miss anything on the Burt Show earlier if you were listening live? Like that one Burt Show listener that asked us to do a background check on her new boyfriend and got some really shocking info? Well, don't miss it later on in the day because our show is on podcast on demand. Listen whenever you have a chance. Go to theburtshow.com. Or any of your podcasting platforms.
Get it? The Burt Show.
I hate to rock the boat this morning, but it's obvious that there are two groups of people that have been going at it now for years and years and years and just can't see each other's side. And we're talking about Gen Zs and millennials here. And we're only going to add to the tension this morning. Our producer, Rebecca, all yours.
Yeah, it's war. Because everybody nowadays is so into Y2K fashion, but is it really Y2K?
Do you guys remember where you were on Y2K the night that it was all supposed to end, man?
And computers were going to turn on us.
I don't.
Yeah, I had my sippy cup. I was probably watching an episode of Blue's Clues before bed.
Y2K, so I was in college, but where? I don't remember where I was.
I do.
I remember very distinctly.
Okay.
I was in my neighbor, Miss Linda's house. We had a neighborhood New Year's party. I was there with my best friends, Lindsay and Lauren. Prince's 1999 song was playing, Party Like It's 1999.
Okay.
And I remember watching, because I catastrophized about this stuff, the end of the Mayan calendar. I prayed every night over that. Like, it freaked me out. And I remember watching the TV as it counted down to midnight. And I was like, it's doomsday.
This is it.
And then nothing happened. And I was like, okay. And I went and shot off some fireworks.
So me and my ex-wife, Stacy, joined four other friends. And we're like, if this is all going down, we're going to Mexico. So we booked a last-minute like trip down to Mexico in Rosarito. We didn't have a whole bunch of money at the time. And we all shared a condo. And the only thing I remember about the weekend, except for us waiting for the world to end, was the shower in the master bedroom was tiled, right? And it was tiled with a woman with huge boobs that was touching herself. That's how they tiled. That's how cheap this place was.
And that's what you remember.
That's why you remember.
Like, yeah, I booked that way. Yeah. But yeah, we were all around a fire pit at like midnight going, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen now.
Well, I was six, which is why I kind of consider myself a zillennial, which I know is like really cringy, especially to like Katie's 30 years old. I can see her talking right now through the glass. She hates it when I call myself a zillennial because she's my age, too.
Don't do that to us. We're millennials.
Okay. We're basically on the cusp of being millennials and Gen Z.
Okay. So the basic difference, if you have to wrap it up, what do Gen Z say about millennials and what a millennials say about Gen Zs?
Gen Z seems to think that millennials are very cringy. Like, there's a name for it. You get called chuggy. Mm. That's like the worst thing you can be called as a millennial is chuggy. Have you heard? You know that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've talked about it.
And then millennials just think that, like, they think what every older generation thinks of a younger generation, that they're rude and they're weird and annoying and like they're just out of touch.
Right. Challenge. There is a subset maybe of elder millennials because I too am almost a cusper, but not with Gen Z. We had such high hope. We were like, we wanted to be Gen Z's older sibling. We were like, you got this. You're going to change the world. So excited. And then they started eating Tide Pods and getting on to us about how our hair was parted and if we were wearing skinny jeans. So now I think there is a subset of millennials that likes Gen Z and believes in them. And the other subset is like, you are boomers part two. You are mean to us for no reason. We're just existing here being dog moms and plant moms and wearing our skinny jeans. And y'all are hating for nothing.
Gen Zers are so afraid to be millennials. That's where the real divide is. They are so afraid to come off corny and old and chuggy.
That's why every time I see one of their bratty little videos on TikTok where they make fun of millennials, I make sure to comment, oh, I thought you were me. I thought you were one of us. Because nothing drives them nuts more than a Gen Z looking like a millennial.
So I bring up this strong generational divide because Netflix just released the horror movie Time Cut, where the main character is sent from the present all the way back to 2003, and the trailer got torn to shreds online by millennials because everything in it is so wrong. The colors are wrong. The accessories are wrong. The gadgets are wrong. And I don't know who made the movie, but something I do know is that even though Gen Z is really into recycling the old trends, they wouldn't know real Y2K if they got hit in the head with a purple Ugg boot.
Don't they normally have somebody on set who is solely responsible for making sure things are accurate from that time period?
I'd like to talk to that producer because they were wrong.
I watched that movie and I literally gaslit myself. I was like, I don't remember any of this because that was right around when I was in high school. And I was like, no one at my school looked like that with all the bright colors. No one's bedroom looked like that. It's like almost a cartoon version of what you would expect a Y2K bedroom to look like, but it's not reality.
It feels like a Gen Z's idea of what like the early 2000s were. So I invited intern Ethan in studio to take a little generational quiz because I want to see if he can recognize which of these outfits are real things I actually wore in 2007 and which I made up.
Okay.
So how old are you, Ethan?
I am 20.
20. Yes. What year does that make you born?
2004.
I didn't go to school for math.
The math isn't that tough on that one.
Really?
It's around 20 years ago.
It's 2024. He is 20, so you subtract 20 from 24.
Yep, you are not listening to NPR.
He is so young. When I saw this was a time travel movie and they went back to 2003, I wept because I was like, that is literally yesterday. Ethan is so young, he wasn't even alive for the time period of this movie.
20 years old. Okay.
Well, to make this quiz fair, I think it is important to note that growing up, I was a scene girl. Do y'all know what a scene girl is?
You had the bangs.
I looked like this.
Oh my God.
Oh, wow. Oh, no.
This is not a picture of me, but this was the goal. It's ratted hair, raccoon stripes, eyeliner, like, up to here. Like, this was my team.
It looks like emo Jersey Shore.
Is it
Brett Dolish?
No.
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 Oh, my God. Did you walk around being like,
Is it more than you bargained for yet?
Yes, of course I did.
Your entire playlist is just Evanescence on repeat.
Panic at the Disco, that's all I listen to. Okay, let's travel back to 2007 when I was 13 years old.
I'm proud of you for doing the math.
I went to art school, okay? I can't do math. Ethan, it's the first day of eighth grade, and you want to make a fashion statement. What outfit do you lay out the night before? A, a denim mini skirt over a pair of black leggings layered with two different lace-trimmed tank tops and a polo. Or B, an oversized graphic tee with a cartoon dinosaur saying, rawr, paired with rhinestone bedazzled low-rise flare jeans.
I feel like oversized tee is not the answer because it's just like so modern-ish and so old also at the same time. Mm. So I got to go with the first answer.
You're correct.
Yeah, you got a layer.
Wow. You're in those lacy tanks.
Oh, that was the look.
I had so many of those. So many.
I love those. I can't believe you got, the oversized graphic tee. You never wore oversized. Mm-mm. It was glued to your body. All right, you're trying out for the JV girls soccer team. There's a get-together with the high school girls, and you want to make a good impression. Do you wear A, a pair of teal Sophie shorts with the waistband rolled up three times because you're not like other girls? Or if you laugh every time, it's okay. Thanks. Or B, a knockoff Juicy Couture velour jumpsuit that says angel on the butt.
I'm going to go with the first option just because of the reaction.
Smart man. Everybody in here was laughing. Oh,
that's correct. Yeah. What? I'm not going to wear a knockoff Juicy Couture. What am I, poor?
Bro, people should never laugh.
All right. Here's my final one. You're going to see this cool new underground band that's making a stop on their tour at Six Flags Over Georgia. They're called the Jonas Brothers.
That actually happened.
Yeah, I was there. Your team, Joe, what do you wear to make him look your way? A, a boho patchwork poncho that covers your torso, along with a charm headband that has acrylic peace signs. Or B, a long, skinny purple scarf in the middle of July with a pair of fake diamante chandelier earrings that hit your collarbone.
The scarf in the middle of July.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Chris is over here laughing her ass.
She's giving away every single one of them.
I'm just literally reliving every single poor fashion choice we made in the early 2000s. Sad. And they were atrocious. Dude, the dresses over the jeans, what were we thinking?
Yo, what was that era?
We weren't thinking. That's the problem, Kristen.
So what is this era going to look back in 20 years and go, what were we thinking?
Oh, the high-waisted pants, for sure.
Mm-hmm. The mom jeans.
Mm-hmm. Jinx.
Crocs.
No!
You nailed it.
Get it? The Bird Show.
This coming Monday is Veterans Day, and we want to give you the opportunity to be able to brag on your veteran. So we have a landline, believe it or not, 404-954-1360. You can leave a message and tell us why your veteran deserves some recognition. And so we're going to put all those together, and we're going to play them throughout the day on Monday for Veterans Day. So if you have a military member that you really just want to give some extra love to, again, that number is 404-954-1360. And if you can't remember that number, that's okay. Just go to thebertshow.com.
All right, we call it Follow-Up Thursday for a reason. You guys hit us during the week with an email or whatever saying, hey, Bert Show, whatever happened to blank? And in this case, we were setting up two sisters that didn't even know that they were sisters for a while there and trying to get them in the same room at the same time.
So this was back in October of this year where Cynthia received a random text from a woman claiming to be her sister. She was unsure if it was real, so she confronted her, and he confirmed that he had a daughter long before Cynthia but chose not to be in the woman's life. Confused about what her next move would be, she reached out to us for help. Cynthia's goal was to get to know her sister via text, but she wasn't having it. So she agreed to meet her in person. But when the day arrived, Cynthia panicked at the last second. And the last we heard, she was sorting through her emotions before taking the next step to meet her sister face to face. So what happened?
Hi, guys. After the initial panic, I took some time to process everything. I needed space to figure out how to approach this in a way that
felt right. I spent a few weeks focusing on myself, talking to friends, and managing the emotions I'd been bottling up. Eventually, I realized that I would never feel like it was the right time to face this, so I decided to rip the Band-Aid off and reached out to Christine again. I apologized for running away the first time, but I asked if she'd still be open to meeting. And to my surprise, she was more than understanding. A few days later, we met at a random cafe. That afternoon, we spent hours getting to know each other, sharing our lives, and answering the questions that had been building up between us. Christina told me that she had known about my dad for most of her life. Turns out my dad had been very secretive about his past, but when she was a teenager, she found some old letters and documents that led her to believe he might be her father. After finally confirming my dad's identity, she did some digging and came across my name. She said she wasn't looking for a quote-unquote perfect family reunion or anything. Her goal was to get to know me better and see if we might have a connection. By the end of our conversation, I felt a sense of relief. There were still a lot of things we didn't know about each other, but now I'm looking forward to learning more about her.
Okay.
I love that for them.
Yeah, good for them.
Yay.
Who knew? I mean, imagine waking up like in your 20s or 30s years old, and you realize at that point, like, oh my God, there's somebody else in the world that comes from the same bloodline. I had no idea.
That would be, it would be earth-shattering. And also, depending on, like, if you were only a child, can also be, like, life-affirming in a weird way.
Yeah.
Just depending on how you choose to look at it.
People use life-changing all of the time. This is actually life-changing.
Yeah,
life-changing,
literally.
Right? All right, Cassie, we have a couple of minutes here. I'm going to give out the parent warning here. We're probably going to get in a couple of naughty words if you're listening to this live or if you're listening on the podcast right now. But Cassie is very, very, very curious about one place in Atlanta and the origin story.
So I went to get my hair cut at Maggie Murphy's Salon over in Summerhill by the old Braves Stadium, and we were talking, and I was talking to my stylist Whitney, and she was saying across the street, they were all talking about it, there used to be a restaurant. It's now abandoned. It's empty. By the way, if you haven't been down by Summerhill by the old Braves Stadium, the old Turner Field, it has, like, blown up.
It's been revitalized?
Yes.
So has Summerhill always been a community, or it has been, and it has just been built up now? Because in the 23 years I've been here, only recently have I ever heard about this community.
Yeah, I think you haven't heard a lot because I think there was some building politics going on that didn't allow them to revitalize the area initially. But now there are all these, like, cute restaurants and ice cream shops. It's adorable. And so I was in that area. And so they were talking about a specific place across the street that was it was a barbecue joint, and it was called Boner Barbecue.
Hey.
And I've heard of, like, there used to be a Bone Lick barbecue in Atlanta. I loved going there. It was delicious. So I didn't think twice of it about it until they go, yeah, it was a combination barbecue and porn store.
No.
Yes.
Really?
It was?
That was my reaction. I was like, haha, okay. No, apparently the walls in the bathrooms used to be, like lined with Playboy posters and stuff like that.
So it was like a Starship type place. They weren't, like...
No, I mean, it wasn't, it's not a brothel, but it was like a porn store. So you could go, I guess, watch porn. That's what I want to know. I want to find somebody who has been to this Boner Barbecue and tell me, like, what was it like? Because nobody seems to know. And at this point, I'm like, was it an urban legend? But somebody has seen it. So they knew it existed. And they knew that the bathroom was covered with Playboy posters. But I cannot fathom a combo porn barbecue joint. There's a rooftop deck. Like, it was decked out, and apparently it used to be really popping.
You got big deck energy at Boner's.
But I'm thinking of all the food combinations. Mm-hmm. I don't want a food where I know my hands are going to get, like, sticky.
Yes.
It's like the worst combo of all the foods in the world.
I don't know. Magic City and the wings.
He's sucking those bones.
He's got a point. That's fair.
How many wet naps you got to go through, man?
Quite a few.
Well, I want to know, if you've been to Boner Barbecue back in the day, please hit me up. I have so many questions. I'm just curious. I want to know what it was like.
Yes, he's very curious about Boner, so we'll get you an answer. It's the Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.